Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Bump and Stacy
on Seattle Sports Station.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union. Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Rost.
Here we go now.
All right, let's learn about three former Denver Broncos and one former Seattle Seahawk with Tyler Palumbus, former offensive lineman and current host and analyst for 104.3 The Fan in Denver, joining us now on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. Tyler, how's it going?
Oh, it's going great. It's good to be with you guys.
We're really, really excited to talk to you. We obviously communicated a lot with your station immediately following the trade, and then we both went our separate ways, and we went to watch these new players as they kind of settled in. So I'm first curious to ask you about a couple former Broncos before we start asking about Russell Wilson. First of all, with Drew Lock, we're getting to know him a little bit more, but he is still in the thick of a quarterback battle. What for him in Denver wasn't working out?
Well, you know, Drew's a talented kid, arguably had a little bit of a bad draw, but that's the NFL. You know, you've only got the cards that you're played, that you're dealt, and you got to play those cards. So Drew had a relatively good start in his first few appearances with Rich Gangarello, his offensive coordinator. And then he changed offensive coordinators. They went away from the West Coast scheme and really just struggled. And the main thing it comes down to is interceptions. You're going to see plenty of highlight throws. You're going to see plenty of moments that you're going to feel excited about Drew Lock and his future. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, there's just a dumb interception that's just going to drive you absolutely mad. And so, you know, for Drew, I do think he needs some stability. He needs somebody that's going to invest in him. And I'm not sure if Seattle's doing that or not. I mean, it sounds like he's in a quarterback competition. So, you know, Drew's a talented young kid that absolutely had a fighting chance of being a legitimate starter in the NFL. Is it too late? I'm not sure. It's going to take somebody being invested in him.
Tyler, I look at Noah Fant, and I see a tight end that has the capabilities to be a top 10 tight end in this league. He can block. He can catch the rock. The run after the catch is great. What would be your assessment of Noah Fant and where he fits in? Does he have the ability to be in that conversation as one of the best?
Yeah, Noah Fant's a very productive tight end. You'll get a lot out of him. He's very likable. If you can get him on your station, we had him on our station every single week. And very honest guy. He's a great interview, so you'll really enjoy him. He's not the most physical player in the world, but he's super athletic. When he's going in a straight line, he's as fast as they get. So, you know, arguably when you're in smaller spaces, he's got to get a little bit more agile. That's probably not his specialty. But if you let him turn those wheels on and he could just run straight, he's as fast as anybody in the NFL. His numbers were good. Maybe not fantastic for a first-round tight end, but that's more about the value of the position than anything else. When you get drafted in the first round, expectations are like you're going to be a Hall of Famer just because people don't get drafted in the first round as a tight end. And so I think Denver fans might have been a little bit let down by Noah Fant over the years. But if you really look at the numbers, hey, he had productive years with Denver, and absolutely, if he gets in an offense that wants to feature a tight end, he could be a star in the NFL.
I spoke with Rachel Vigil, one of your colleagues, this morning from 104.3 The Fan, and she mentioned Shelby Harris being a fan favorite over there in Denver, and it was a bit surprising. I wondered if she was surprised by Shelby taking a little bit of a back seat when it comes to the three players that have come here, just because with Noah Fant, right, you get to see the wide receivers and tight ends make all kinds of plays at training camp, whereas defensive guys don't get to do as many things, and obviously Drew Lock is going to dominate headlines. Are you surprised? Because it sounds like he was a huge fan favorite over there.
Yeah, Shelby was a good player. And, you know, he was around during some tough years, and he found a way to shine in years in which nobody else was shining. So absolutely is a fan favorite. You know, he's got a skill set that is a little bit unique, that doesn't shock me that he hasn't necessarily stood out throughout OTA so far. I mean, his specialty is batted balls. That's really what his specialty is. He's not necessarily a sack master, but he's got an insane knack of just getting his hand up at the right time and batting that ball down, not only on defense, but on field goals as well. blocked a handful of field goals over the course of his career. He's a good guy, works hard, veteran, been around the block. He's been cut by the Raiders like 25 times in one season, brought back. Then he found a home here in Denver, played really, really well. Hit free agency a year or two ago, and everybody thought he was going to sign like an $8 or $10 million deal. Well, that just wasn't out there. So he settled for a smaller deal to come back to Denver, and really, really productive. So, you know, fans have got nothing but great things to say about Shelby Harris.
Tyler, at one point, it was all about letting Russ cook. He's no longer in our kitchen. He's in your kitchen now. What's the approach going to be over there? You got a good run game over there in Denver as well. You got Javonte Williams. What's going to be the approach? Are they going to be a pass-happy type offense, or do you see a more balanced approach?
Yeah, that's a great question. We're trying to figure it out right now. I mean, I think it's fair to assume the reason why Russell Wilson's in Denver is because he wants more control over the offense. Why did things go south out there in Seattle? Maybe you guys can tell me. But my assumption is, well, things just weren't clicking between him and Pete Carroll, and he probably wanted more influence over the direction of the offense. And that probably means he wants to throw the ball a little bit more often. So, you know, I do think that Russell Wilson, he's got the capability of being a top five quarterback when he has a great running game, probably a top 10 quarterback when he does not have a great running game. So I certainly see the importance of running the ball with Russell Wilson. I hope that he sees that importance, and I hope that Nathaniel Hackett has got, you know, enough of a backbone as a first-time head coach to know what the right thing to do is, and that's certainly not to abandon the running game.
Now, Tyler, you've spent some time with the Seahawks as a player. You're well-connected in the NFL. You know a couple of our colleagues here. So it's not like Russell Wilson is new to you, right? Like, you're plenty familiar with the Seattle market and with him. However, is there anything new that you've learned or anything that stood out over a couple months here of watching him?
Oh, yeah. We started a segment on our show called Meet the Wilsons, and it was really kind of something that we were planning on only lasting a week or two, just learning some information. But my goodness, it's gone on since the day that trade went down. Almost every single day, we've got some fun update to talk about between him and Sierra. Man, this is a superstar couple like we have never had in Denver. He's been on this three or four week long vacation in Europe, finally got done with it, out in San Diego now. I think he went to about 12 or 13 locations during the break. You know, there is a little bit of rust fatigue already. I'm not gonna lie, there's a little bit of rust fatigue. Like, holy cow, at what point do we stop talking about all this going on off the field and we just get to football? So I'm excited for the season to get here so we can get to football, talk about all that. But, man, I think I was underprepared for all the storylines that were going to be going on off the field, that's for sure.
Hey, quickly, this makes me think, when you said rust fatigue, I thought you were going to talk about like personality, because he kind of gets made fun of for his corniness. I mean, he's a corny guy. Like, he's insanely talented. He would probably admit that he's pretty corny.
Well, that's a sensitive subject here, because, you know, on the station, we'll make fun of him, and we'll have a little bit of fun with it. And honestly, the guys will too. But the fans aren't ready to hear that.
Oh, because, no.
You know, he's just a hero. He's the new guy in town. So we definitely feel it, and we see it. My take with Russell Wilson, I think he's a successful Tim Tebow. He's got the personality of Tim Tebow.
That's exactly what it is.
He's got the success of not Peyton Manning. He's not that successful, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. So, he was able to reach the different heights, obviously. But I feel like there's a nuance that's kind of like in the middle with the two cities, where I think some fans in Seattle, either, you know, spoiled by success, angry about the dealings with Wilson's agent, whatever it was, started to not appreciate how talented he was and only focus on the personality, whereas it sounds like fans in Denver are like, no, we're only seeing him as the best thing to ever happen to us, and maybe aren't being honest about some of the other things with Russ. It's like the truth is somewhere in the middle, but the nuance is completely lost.
Right. But we have been in football. We've been quarterback purgatory for 6 years now. Sad to break it to you. You guys are too. You're about to be there. Hate to tell you, but you're there now.
Yeah.
So, you know, although we got to deal with all the off the field stuff with Russell, I'll take it, because hopefully that means we're winning football games.
Hey, Tyler, have people found out who was the guy behind Russell Wilson, the guy who used to sit in the chair that I sit in, Jake Heaps. I hear he's the guru. Everyone knows him. Have people kind of figured out who Jake Heaps is yet in Denver?
Yeah, so I've gotten to know Jake over the last few months. I talked to him a little bit just through media stuff over the last couple of years. And then as he got into town, I've gotten to know Jake. My son actually went to Russell's football camp, mm-hmm. and so I got to know him there. You know, it's a really fascinating storyline. All the team matter of fact, I'd be curious how big Russell Wilson's team was out there. I mean, out here – he's got the chef. He's got two athletic trainers. He's got Jake Heaps, personal quarterback coach. He's got the mental coach. He's got an athletic trainer, an athletic therapist, I should say. There's eight different people that Jake listed off. And that's the part that's like, okay, well, who are you listening to? You listening to Jake? Are you listening to Clint Kubiak, the quarterback's coach? It's a fine line to walk. I'm guessing that his team has grown since he's been out in there in Seattle. But what was it like out there?
It was. I mean, he has a huge team of people around him. Like when you would go to training camp or OTAs or whatever it was, I'd always see Jake talking to random people. And it's like, who's that? And it's like, oh, that's his physical therapist. Or that's maybe not his physical therapist, but random people like that. Like you have to think about it. And this isn't information from Jake. I think this is from an article that Russell Wilson was interviewed for. This guy probably spends $1 million on his body just trying to stay healthy.
Easily.
And stay, you know what I mean? But I mean, it's worked. He's missed 3 games over the course of his entire career. So he cares a lot about his career. And it's in a way where like he's a little more open to it than he was earlier on in his career and than some other athletes are. But the thing is, if you're going to be a superstar quarterback, and this is what I'll always say about Russell Wilson, again, like, does he post videos on Instagram that make me cringe? Sure. But also, like, caring about your body when your body is worth millions doesn't make you a selfish person. Like, I think that's the thing that I always try to communicate is, like, this guy's job is his arm and his body.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's invested in winning, so that part's obvious. It's just all the other stuff. Can he connect with the teammates? Will that be a distraction? Will there be any issues with the coaches? That's all the other stuff that it's kind of wait and see on all that.
Tyler, curious to kind of take a step back. Now, the AFC West a division I'm very curious about this year. I don't even know who I'm picking to win the entire thing. You could make an argument for any of those teams. I know you cover Denver, so I don't know if there's going to be any bias or not, but how do you see it shaking out?
Well, the Chiefs are still the top dog, so you start there, and then you could make a legitimate case about either of the remaining three teams about whether they should be the second best team in the AFC West. Mm. The way I see it right now is if I had to win a game this year, I would take Russell Wilson as the next quarterback in the AFC West. And that includes Justin Herbert. Now, long term, if I was building a franchise, of course, I'd rather have Justin Herbert. But who's a better quarterback this year? I'd take Russell Wilson over Justin Herbert. And then Derek Carr, he definitely comes in fourth in terms of the quarterback. So I think the AFC West is going to cannibalize itself. And if somebody can find a way to sweep another team that's going to give you a huge leg up, this might be a weird year in which what happens outside of the AFC West, it might matter more than what actually happens inside of it because everybody's going to beat up on one another.
Yeah, I don't envy the entire conference at all. I mean, we look at the NFC and we're like, yeah, I mean, you got Aaron Rodgers and the Rams and Brady, watch out. And with you guys, I'm like, there's going to be good teams that don't make the playoffs. So it's going to be fascinating watching from here in the NFC and the NFC West. But it was, Tyler, it was fun talking to you. We learned a ton about these new Seahawks we have here and also how things have been going with Russ. Let's hope we can touch base before week one.
Always happy to jump on anytime, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks so much. He was Tyler Palumbus, former offensive lineman and current host and analyst for 104.3 The Fan in Denver. Let's get to Headline Rewrites.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
Headline Rewrites.
Presented by Tila Mortgage.
The real story behind the headlines in today's news with Bump and Stacey.
Interesting to hear him talk about. Did Russell Wilson always have a huge team there? Oh, gosh. Now I remember what I was going to tell him. I was going to tell him with no context to slip in during a conversation with Jake. Yeah, he's really a jack of all aces.
Oh, that would have been nice.
Oh, I should have told him to do that. I should have been like, just don't even. And then when he starts laughing, just be like, what? Like, just act like you have no idea what he's talking about.
All right. Tickets for the Seahawks-Buccaneers game in Munich, Germany went on sale yesterday, and the average price for the worst seat in the house is $600. Yes. What's the real headline?
Ticket prices were set by the Seattle Kraken.
Mm.
If you have ever been to a Kraken game, you know, God love them. Rooting for nothing but the best for the newest team in town.
Shane Wright.
But I think something like the second highest ticket prices in the NHL, and don't even get me started on how much it costs for me to get a slice of pizza and a Pepsi.
How about a tall boy? About 15 bucks for a tall boy, man.
What? Oh, I should have done that. I did a hard seltzer. It was like $17.
Is your fancy?
I know. That's me. I'm too bougie. I couldn't help myself.
Yeah, that's crazy. That family trip you had planned to the game, it's now a date with mom because those tickets cost way too much. $600. No, thank you.
Yeah, it's absolutely insane. I feel bad for people who are huge Seahawks fans who are abroad. I had no idea that the UK, but in particular over in Europe, Germany, had a huge Seahawks fans contingency. I didn't know that. And it's a bummer for those fans who aren't going to be able to afford to go in what might be the only opportunity to see some of their favorite players play.
I can imagine the tailgate scene in Germany has to be crazy.
Yes, absolutely. Just nothing but, like, pretty nice beer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Headline rewrites.
All right, next up, Rob Manfred says he rejects the premise minor leaguers aren't paid a living wage. What's the real headline?
$10,000 a year is enough, said man making $10 million a year.
Out of touch with reality. Oh, they're fine. They get to ride on buses. They get to visit the greatest parts of America. And we feed them. They're good to go. No, sir, man. That's a guy with a lot of money who doesn't understand how real life works for the average person.
How tone deaf do you have to be to know that you're making millions and millions and millions a year? I mean, the answer to that question, it actually shocks me because Rob Manfred isn't a stupid person. He's a very smart person. It shocks me that he wouldn't think in the moment to say, you know what, this is an issue we're exploring.
Dance around that thing.
That's the thing. Like, that's an equally frustrating issue. You will get dragged for that, but not nearly as much as you will saying, like, hey, they're getting enough. Don't say, I reject the premise they're not being paid a living wage when they are not being paid a livable salary. These guys all have to get second, third jobs. They have to have help from sponsor families. I mean, whatever it is, live with seven other roommates. That's not a livable wage. And I think that because it's a sport, people look at it with less empathy than they would someone else making that money. They don't see it as physical labor, even though it is. They don't see it as people pursuing a career, even though it is. They see it as a luxury. Oh, I wish I could just go play baseball. You're going to end up making millions. First of all, I know you wish you could, but you can't. Brent and Enumclaw, the reason that you aren't even in the minor leagues nor touching one of those rosters is because you can't throw a ball the way they can and you can't swing a bat the way they can. And the 7,000 players that are in the minor league system are way better than you and all your friends. Secondly, not all of those players, only a fraction of those players will go on to make big money in MLB. And by the way, when they finally get there, they're making that money because they are the talent. They are the driving force for a multi-billion dollar organization. You don't hear me getting mad at people at Google getting $300,000 a year because they can code, right? I mean, do you know how many times I have to autocorrect texts that I send? Imagine me getting heated because someone over that can do skills that I can't even touch is getting paid more than me. That's what you sound like right now.
What she said. What she said.
That's just all I can think of.
You just went in on them right now.
I'm just saying, Bump, you have to get so heated. If I were you as a former professional athlete and a former collegiate athlete, I would get so heated every time I heard someone use the word bum to describe a practice squad player.
Yeah, definitely. They don't know what it takes. So you just laugh at them. You're like, all right, good luck in your church league game. I'll watch you, though.
You're much more calm, cool, and collected than I am. I'm getting heated at people.
She's
being
hot right now.
Well,
y'all better stop. Hey, it all started with that texter.
That's
he got
what it
you
was.
Going.
That's what it was.
And now, look, y'all better watch out.
Someone came for Love Island, and I wasn't having it. And now I'm on a roll. This is my third cup of coffee. We have another hour and a half of this mess. I'm so sorry.
Headline rewrites.
Right.
Someone said 2 days in a row, Stacey goes after made up name in Enum Claw. Leave us alone, Stacey. Oh, shit.
That's true. You
what
did.
What I did.
What you got against Enum Claw?
Oh, I said that. It's just one of the first cities I think of sometimes. I was born and raised in Washington State, and I know maybe 10 cities.
I mean, I have a friend in Enum Claw if you want to make fun of him.
What's
for
his
it.
Name?
His name's Kevin.
Yeah, that's the go-to now. Kevin and Enum
Claw. Kevin
Claw's
and Enum Claw.
Go, I got
you go
target.
Enum Claw, I'll go like Bellingham or something like that.
Okay, perfect. We got it covered. Sorry, Enum Claw, but not to Kevin.
All right. Last up, we have the New York Giants to wear 1980s through 1990s throwback uniforms for two games in the 2022 NFL season. What's the real headline?
This just in for the Giants. It will not make Daniel Jones a franchise quarterback.
Ooh.
I know they're hoping that, you know, you're going to bring back those Super Bowl wins from the Parcells era, but yikers, you still have Daniel Jones, the sweater vest of quarterback.
You still got Danny Dimes, baby.
Yeah.
Hey, I like those uniforms, though. Those are kind of, they're traditional. They're classic look. I hope they don't have, like, those quarter sleeves, though. They wouldn't do that to them. But whatever you have to do to distract your fans from the actual football being played, focus on the jerseys. Go buy some of these 1980s to, what, 90s jerseys. They're clean. I can rock with them.
253, look at that. A pretentious UW grad going after rural Washington.
Mm.
I'm not fighting with big rural. I'm not going to war with rural Washington. Also, shout out SeaTac, though. I'm not from rural Washington. I'm from SeaTac.
Ty.
I know. Someone said, oh, shout out to Brent and Enum Claw getting the most random stray L. I'm really, you know what? If there's a Brett or a Brent, for
definitely.
That matter, Enum Claw, I'd like to personally apologize to you. I'm sure you're a nice person. You listening right now, Brent or Brett, you know what, man? I love you, bro.
But don't worry. We've replaced you with Kevin.
Yeah. Kevin, though. Man, he's going to catch so many. They aren't even strays. I'm aiming
Kevin.
Straight for Kevin. Kevin is now the target of my ire. All right. So we are going to get back to a little bit of Juan Soto talk. We are going to get back to a training camp preview. We're going to, every day leading up to the start of training camp, we're now a week away, by the way, take a look at a couple position groups. We already talked about one thing that makes us excited, one thing that makes us nervous. Now we're going to kind of give you a primer. Everything you need to know by the end of this entire series, you are going to listen to stuff about training camp and be like, I know exactly who they're talking about. I know exactly who's fighting for what position. I know everything I need to know about this team. That's going to be at 12:45. First, we're taking a look around the NFL.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bump and Stacy.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
Seahawks training camp position primer, wide receivers coming your way in 15. Before then, let's step out of Seattle and take a look around the rest of the NFL. This hour, Bump and Stacy, brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. Let's get started. Where else? More Madden ratings. The top 10 running backs, they have speed, cut ability, all kinds of different things. This is overall. So just so you know, this is the overall list. Adam Schefter posted a screenshot of it. That's where I'm pulling this information. The best running backs in Madden 23, top 10 overall, in order from number one. Derrick Henry, Nick Chubb, Christian McCaffrey, Jonathan Taylor, Dalvin Cook, Joe Mixon, Alvin Kamara, Aaron Jones, Austin Eckler, Zeke Elliott. I have no problem with the top 10, but Bump, that's not my question. My question is, which running back or running backs not included in this list have a chance to get there by this time next year?
Excuse me. Najee Harris, man. Where's Najee Harris? 1,200 yards, 7 touchdowns, 6 big plays, 3.9 a carry. I mean, this guy, he's going to be asked to do a lot over there with Pittsburgh. They're trying to figure out who their quarterback is going to be. They're going to go with a veteran or a young guy. Either way you go, Najee Harris is going to be a vital part of this offense. Run the ball. Najee, it's kind of disappointing he's not on that list.
Now, Bump, if your prediction that Rashad Penny will play a full season, that being 14 games or so, not like full all games, well, I mean, he might be a candidate.
Yeah, he might be a candidate. But Najee has done it already.
I know.
So you got to go with a guy who's done it over the course of a season. I think Rashad Penny has the ability to do it, but he's got to prove it. 14 games. Come on, Penny. I need 14.
Well, football is officially back, kind of. Not here in Seattle, but soon. The Raiders became the first NFL team to open training camp with all players. That means veterans and rookies due at their facility today. According to Adam Schefter, by this time next week, every training camp will be underway. That includes the Seattle Seahawks, who open their training camp exactly a week from today. That is going to be open to season ticket holders. The following day, Thursday, the 27th, is going to be the first kind of like general fans. I don't know if it's sold out or what, but that's not a season ticket holder only day. We are going to be out there, by the way, broadcasting live from Seahawks headquarters in Renton beginning on Wednesday. So practice is going to be underway. This is why you want to make sure you listen to Bump and Stacey every single day. Practice will begin during our show. So we're going to be your eyes and ears out there on the field at VMAC headquarters telling you what we're seeing.
It's going to be great. Football is back. I'm so excited. We got Mariners balling. We got football season about to start. We're going to look at this defense, look at this offense, see who's running the show at the quarterback spot. Does DK show up? Does he look healthy? What does Ken Walker look like? This is the first time we're going into a training camp with a lot of questions that need to be answered. Typically, we know that Russell's going to ball. We know the defense is going to fly around. We know Jamal's going to be out there being loud. We'll see some of the same things, but a lot of unfamiliar faces and a scheme that we're anxious to see if it works out.
You know, here I was thinking that for many Seahawks fans, particularly younger fans, not having Russell Wilson, not having that guy would be a new feeling. But something that should have been far more obvious to me is that it'll be a new feeling for many Seahawks fans, regardless of age, because we spoke with Bob Condotta of the Seattle Times earlier today, and he said, look, I've covered this team for 10 years, so this will be my first season personally covering without Russell Wilson. But you think of this franchise as a whole, they haven't had many quarterback battles. I mean, they've kind of gone from guy to guy. And you think about it, outside of one or two guys filling in, you've had 20 years of Hasselbeck to Wilson.
Yeah, the quarterback battle is who's going to back up Russell. That's been
the battle.
The battle the past 10 years.
Yeah, now suddenly you're looking at Russell Wilson's former backup competing with a guy who was part of a trade for Russell Wilson. So, speaking of, we also asked Bob, hey, are you expecting this to be more of a 50-50 split? He said, yeah, he could see it happening, but still maybe Geno's job to lose. Are you expecting a 50-50 split for these two when camp starts?
I'm not. I wouldn't be surprised if it's 50-50, but I think that Geno is going to be 60-40. And I think it should be 60-40 because Geno is the experienced veteran. He's been here. He knows the playbook. He knows the guys. From what I saw when he was out there during OTAs and minicamp, he's running the show, and there's a confidence about him that I just didn't see in Drew Lock. Doesn't mean Drew Lock cannot close the gap and catch him. I believe he's going to do that. You think Geno's going to be the day one starter. I think Drew's going to be the day one starter. But to start camp, it should be Geno with the ones, 60-40. But I can see a 50-50 split.
All right, we just mentioned this, but I'm going to get back to it. We're going to do a bit of a deeper dive here. The Giants are the latest team doing throwback unis. I know everyone always wonders, but no, the Seahawks will not be introducing theirs this year. When the Seahawks do, are they going to have the best throwback unis in football?
By far, right? The best. That's silver. That is it. Is it, what kind of blue is that? Is it royal blue? It's a different type of blue. It's not the blue.
Not
they
royal
have
blue.
Now.
It's like a classic, like a. It's like Crayola, like a classic, like the blue sky blue. It's, I don't even know how to describe it. It's like a primary color blue. I gotta say, the Giants throwbacks, if you guys haven't seen them, they're clean, but not drastically different from the Giants' current uniform.
Nah.
I mean, they're just a little. There's a bit of like an 80s, 90s vibe, which makes sense. They are from the 80s and 90s. Which, how also, Brady, you're not included in this conversation. Bump. How does it make you feel when someone says 90s or throwback? Does
90s,
it hurt?
Nah. You know what? I embrace my age just like I embrace the grays on my face. Here's the one thing. You won't see these grays on my face during Pac-12 Network. When I do TV, them things are gone.
It's so weird. It suddenly changed very quickly. All right. Next up here, Sean Payton, again, revisiting this story here. Sean Payton says that he does think he'll get back into coaching. You talked in Four Down Territory about kind of guessing where he'll land. What's the most unlikely of the landing spots that you want to make sure we touch on here? Where you're like, I know everyone's talking about Dallas, but what's a team we maybe shouldn't exclude?
Shouldn't exclude when it comes to Miami. I mean, he says that's one of the places he might want to go to. And they just got a new head coach over there. They're trying to figure out if they want to keep Tua. And you would think because everything's so new, they want to give that thing like a good opportunity, a good chance. But when you have the opportunity to sign one of the best coaches to do it, it's a great offensive mind. You got to look at them. So be careful over there in Miami.
I have been told that the color is indeed royal blue.
Royal blue.
Sorry. The color royal blue is like it's like Giants blue, not Seahawks throwback blue, right? Seahawks throwbacks blue is like slightly lighter than that. I mean, it might be called royal blue, but I'm telling you right now,
So forget what it's called.
Anna Wintour would disagree with you.
Forget what it's called.
Forget what it's called. Forget whatever the Seahawks want to call it. Me and Anna Wintour recognize that it's not
technically That's Royal Blue. I'm looking at the throwback jersey.
No.
That is Royal Blue.
Seahawks throwback
Look at this.
Jerseys. It's the that's your computer monitor, I think, is like the lighting on it. Is the backlighting maybe makes it look a little bit darker. You know, I feel pretty confident in my own memory of it. In my brain, it's fine. I mean, eventually we'll see them. It's totally fine, totally fine. Hey, Bump, we're going to do our Seahawks position camp primer. Training camp position primer. Wow, guys, let me tell you what. Harder to say that than you think. We're going to be looking at the wide receivers today. Now, I feel pretty good about the Seahawks wide receiver group. We're going to take a look, including at a couple guys who are on the bubble of making that roster. But at the top, you've got DK, you've got Tyler. What other teams can compete with the Seahawks when it comes to their top receivers or the receiver group as a whole?
What other teams? You got to look at...
I mean, Denver.
Denver, New Orleans, San Fran, the Rams, the Cardinals. Oh,
I already don't like how long this list
is. It's in that division. There's so many good receivers in the league right now. You know, like, on paper, before the season starts, you can go a lot of places. But it's all about how they perform when it's time to go, right? You can go Philly. I mean, goodness gracious, everywhere, especially in the division. I think maybe the NFC West has one of the best divisions when it comes to receiver. But then you got, look at the AFC West. You got Mike Williams with the Chargers. There's a lot of states. There's a lot. But we can start AFC West.
I have never seen the text line busier than people telling me it's Royal Blue. I mean, could I see the argument? Does it make sense in theory in an alternate universe that this could be called Royal Blue?
It's okay, Stacey.
Sure.
It's okay.
I could kind of see that. Could I also see it being called a different kind of blue? Yeah. I could totally see that as well. In fact, I think maybe there's two different versions of the throwback uniforms. You know what I mean? Like maybe there used to be a different color blue from my memory.
You're complicating it. It's Royal Blue. It's okay.
Someone said, guys, just ask Wyman. He wore the jersey.
Or Big Ray.
Yeah,
or Moyer. We got options.
Look, we have experts we can bring on, but I refuse to be corrected. So what I'm going to do is tell myself that there were different throwback uniforms.
Okay.
There are different versions of the
different
the,
shades yeah. for every 3 or 4 years. The shade
yeah,
changed
yeah, yeah.
a little bit.
Yeah, what to you guys is Royal Blue? Maybe I just have a broader... you know, spectrum of that I'm able to see.
You can
colors.
See colors that the average human eye
I can see
doesn't see.
400 shades of blue, and so it's just a little more nuanced for me. But that's fine. That's just me. It's Bump and Stacey. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710 and the Seattle Sports app. All right, get into that training camp preview next.
Live from the Alaska Airlines studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bump and Stacy.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
So, Bump, I did find one description of the throwback uniforms as Royal Blue.
I bet you did.
But it's a questionable source. It's Seahawks.com.
Oh.
So, I really, I don't know.
Gotta fact check that, huh?
Yeah, I don't know if that's a primary source that I want to be using, but... It's one person's.
I could only imagine what disagreements are like with you and Brian. I can only imagine. Stacey's like, no, Brian, it's not Mars. It's actually.
He's like, I'm not even going to, like, I'm just saying things incorrectly, but like standing by it. I'm steadfast. All right. Training camp is officially a week away. Now, we're going to have some days where we have a couple position groups that we're looking at. Today, we've just got one. It's going to be wide receivers. So each and every day, we're going to take a look at one or more position groups. We're going to look at all the names competing. Who has the most to prove? Who are you, Bump, when you're out there going to be watching very closely? How might the position group look different? And then we're going to talk about one or two names to kind of watch under the radar or names that are just especially fascinating from that group. The goal is that by the time we kick off our show live from Seahawks headquarters on the first day of training camp, that you guys already know everything. You know everything. You
Y'all
are going to
be edumacated. You'll be like, I know this guy.
You are going to be right with us sitting here with your roster going like, I know who's fighting for a spot. I know who's competing with who. I know who to watch. I know who to be excited about. And you're going to be all set. So let's get this started with the wide receivers. Let's start with who's competing and maybe who's kind of competing with who. So what are we looking at here in terms of the competition?
Okay, who's competing? So when we think of competition, we have to look at that number three receiver spot. We know Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf, boom, got their spots, they're good to go. Who's going to be that number three? We got Freddie Swain, D. Eskridge, and Marcus Goodwin. Marquise Goodwin.
I completely forgot he was on this team.
Yeah. You got Marquise Goodwin. Now, I think Goodwin is a long shot just because he's an older fella, but he has a relationship with the wide receiver coach over there in Seattle. But I think it's out of Freddie, D. Eskridge, and Goodwin. Here's the thing. Freddie Swain is a do-it-all type of receiver. Mm-hmm. He can run those jet sweeps. We've seen him make big plays down the field. He can go across the middle. Probably not the most elusive out of the three. D. Eskridge has the most wiggle. He is a definite jet sweep guy. I think he's better off in the slot, but you can motion him to one side of the formation and try to get some matchups going there. Now, Goodwin is just the veteran who's done it all, right? I've played in big games. I've made some big plays, and I can probably play multiple positions, inside or outside. Those three are going to have to battle. It all comes down to, one, is D. Eskridge going to be healthy? We all know he's battled a concussion last year, hamstring this year. Where Freddie Swain is, can you do enough to separate yourself? Because I don't see Freddie Swain as a game-breaker type of receiver, even though it seems like all he does is make big plays, mm-hmm. right? A 50-yard touchdown, 60-yard touchdown.
Curtis had a joke about this. Every time Freddie Swain has a reception, no one is near him.
Yeah, he's wide open. So, and then you got Goodwin. Goodwin's going to be the guy who is going to stretch the field, right? He is nothing but a big play waiting to happen. So you got three different receivers who can make big plays but can make them in different ways. It seems like Freddie Swain is just right place, right time type receiver. D, you have to get the ball in his hands early, let him go, and then Goodwin's going to stretch that defense. So those three guys are going to be competing, and then I'm going to throw in just a Bo Melton. The guy at Rutgers, really like this dude. He does everything that I just described. He does what D does, Freddie, and what Goodwin can do. So those three are gonna battle it out, but I think Bo is going to be there fighting with him a little bit.
Kind of like a surprise name to maybe keep an eye on.
Yeah.
Now, when it comes to what the position group might look like, for some position groups on this roster, the answer is going to be the same. Like, nothing should be too different. But without your franchise quarterback, it might be different. I mean, every single season with 4,000 or more passing yards in the books for the Seahawks belongs to Russell Wilson. Will this position group, you know, on paper it might be much of the same, but in action, will it look a bit different?
Yeah, it will look a bit different. And remember I did that segment, we'll do it again, four down territory.
Yeah.
The receivers have to help the quarterback. The receiver has to influence the play of the quarterback, where typically it's the quarterback that has more control over the receiver play. Now, receiver, you still got to run your routes, get open. The quarterback has to throw you the football, but you got to make some plays for these guys. All right, you're not going to have the Russell Wilson who's going to be magical back there, buy time, point you down the field. You're going to be wide open because he's brought the safety to the left side. You went around the backside, boom, over the top. You're going to have to sit in some space. You're going to have to go up and win 50-50 footballs. So it's going to look different because you're not – I don't think you're going to see as much magic as you're used to seeing at the quarterback spot. You're going to have to see guys being on time. So being on time means getting to the spot on the field you're supposed to be at and making more difficult plays for your quarterback.
All right. When you're out there watching on the sidelines, when we're at training camp, your answer might be Bo, it might be D. But if those are the two you're keeping an eye on, tell me why. And if not, tell us who you're watching closely.
You said Bo and D out of those two.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I blanked out for a minute.
Oh, sorry. It said, well, I'm guessing your answer is going to be I'm watching Bo Melton and watching D. Eskridge closely. Yeah. If it's not, curious to know who you're watching. But if it is those two, why and what are you looking for when it comes to them?
All right. With D, I'm looking for that first 5 to 10 yards, right? He's a smaller receiver. If you're going to be a small receiver, you better be fast or quick in this league. I think that's exactly what D can do. I also want to see how often they use him in that jet sweep, whether it be giving him the football or being a decoy. When it comes to Bo Melton, I just want to see how efficient he is with his reps. Because as a rookie who's been drafted late, you're not going to get many reps. Mm-hmm. All right, the bulk of the reps are going to go to DK, Freddie, and Tyler Lockett, at least to start. So, Bo, like, you could have 35 offensive plays during a practice. Bo might get 5 to 8 of those things, and 3 of them are going to be a run, are going to be run plays. So what are you doing with your opportunity because you're not going to get the bulk of it? And then it's being efficient, right? Are you running the right plays? You know, can Shane Waldron trust you out there when you do get those reps with the ones and the twos? Because that's the thing we're going to see also during training camp. This is going to be the most mixed mixed units that we've ever seen. You know, I was there during the minicamp in OTAs, man. They had like twos running with ones. You slip a three in there. Mm-hmm. Like they're trying some things out. And you listen to Pete and Shane talk. They say, look, we're going to mix guys up because we want to see what they can do. So when you are in there with the ones, when you get that opportunity with Geno, when you get that opportunity with that first offensive line, and you're going up against the number one defense, what are you doing with those opportunities? I remember, I'll never forget, I messed up a play, and I knew it. I'm like, I got eight plays. This is one of the passing plays that I need to make a play here, and I messed the play up, and I walk up the field. I go, well, there's my opportunity right there. Oh. So when you are lower in that depth chart, you cannot make mental mistakes.
My heart always breaks when I see that, too, because you can see the disappointment on the faces of those guys, whether it's a DB who, you know, gets beaten, given that, you know, it might be a run-heavy offense or certainly a balanced offense. I think people might expect, well, you're going to see more running backs, and they might just carry four. But you have so much wide receiver talent that, Bump, even without Russell Wilson here, I wonder if they might still carry five receivers. Could you see the argument for it?
I can see them carrying five, but those guys have to contribute on special teams. And the messed up part about a receiver is special teams isn't your forte unless you are getting the football in your hand. Like, you got to go down and tackle somebody. You got to do something you probably haven't done it since high school. So I can see them carrying five if they can contribute on special teams. But it's going to be tight, man. It's going to be tight.
All right, this hour, Bump and Stacey, is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. This time tomorrow, we're going to be taking a look at another position group. We'll probably take a look at two position groups tomorrow. Some of these days, we're going to be kind of doubling up there. All right, coming up here, potential Juan Soto trade package. We heard what it could sound like. Would you give that up to add a superstar for 2.5 seasons? That's next.